this year, I found myself sitting alone in the cockpit of a Boeing 787-9 at 40,000 feet, about halfway across the Atlantic Ocean, heading for Sao Paulo from Abu Dhabi. I was only alone for as long as it took for Bob to heat up his lunch in the galley, but I distinctly remember the moment and soaking it all in. We were operating as a crew of three on what was Bob and my first time flying the Dreamliner for real. Dan Ashby, who retired a few years ago from United Airlines, is one of Nomadic's most experienced 787 captains, and he was along for the ride to provide our initial operating experience on Boeing's most modern airliner. We had just gone through the 777-787 differences course a few months back, and we were stoked to finally put that training to use. While sitting there gazing over the modern suite of electronic flight instruments and out of the futuristic-looking windows at the sea below, I thought about how far modern aircraft have come in the last two decades and how lucky I've been to see the technology evolve firsthand. The 787 is a technological marvel, and as the latest product in the long line of Boeing airliners, the Dreamliner features futuristic technologies developed to make the pilot's job so much easier. The Dreamliner truly lives up to its name. With humidified air at the low cabin altitude of 6,000 feet, the soft whir of the Rolls-Royce Trent 1000 engines, a bright roomy cockpit, and the confidence of operating with the latest and greatest avionics available, the 787 is hard not to love. Even on video, you can immerse yourself in the environment and get a sense of how zen it feels sitting in the tip of such a sleek carbon fiber beauty. Throughout the flight, I joked with Dan and Bob about how the 787 has ruined the rest of them for me, and that from now on, I'm done with the other 10 Boeing, Airbus, de Havilland, and McDonnell Douglas jets that I have type ratings on. I basically said that I'm only coming out of the office to move Dreamliners from now on. Of course, they both felt the same way, and we vowed in that moment to pass along all other trips to our other pilots and keep all the 787 work for ourselves. That fantasy, however, was short-lived. As we touched down in Brazil, my mind shifted to the next project on my calendar, the second of two 757s in Roswell, New Mexico that needed to be moved to Xiamen, China to be converted to a freighter. The thought of getting into an old 757 after this and hauling it across the Pacific, a route I usually really enjoy, truly felt grim. About 2 weeks before that 787 flight, I moved the first of the 75s, registration 185 Alpha November, over to China with Mike, a 25-year-old pilot I met through a friend with a remarkable amount of heavy jet experience for someone in their mid-20s. Originally, the plan was for Bob and I to move both aircraft, but Bob's visa renewal was running behind schedule, and when the jet was ready, he didn't have his China crew visa back from processing yet. Both jets were previously flying at American Airlines and were retired in the spring of 2020 when American decided to park them during the start of the pandemic. The planes had been sitting in storage out at AirSale in Roswell, New Mexico, and had only recently been reactivated for the purpose of the ferry flights to China. I'm not 100% sure where the aircraft are slated to operate next as freighters, but the first step was getting them into the conversion shop where they'd be given new purpose and new life. Both aircraft were RB211-powered 757-200s, built in 2001. They were both recently retrofitted with flat-panel primary flight displays, too, which was a nice surprise. Mike and I flew the first one via Honolulu and Guam. Normally, we overnight in Hawaii on this route, but due to the time slot we needed to arrive Xiamen, it made more sense to take the overnight in Guam, which made for one hell of a long day. Roswell to Honolulu was 8 hours and then another 7.5 to Guam, which made for nearly a 20-hour duty day with 16 hours of flight time. Long, but par for the course in the ferry business. We managed to get the first jet off the ground in Roswell 90 minutes after arriving. As planned, we touched down in Guam about 18 hours later after a quick turn in Oahu and enjoyed a nice break soaking up the sun on the beach, eating sushi, and sleeping. Guam is a great tech stop for us, and I frequently choose to personally operate trips with planned overnights there because of it. The ride over to Xiamen the next day was a short 4.5 hours, and said and done, we got the trip completed right on schedule. We were heading home via Qatar Airways mere hours after landing in China. Because that trip went so smoothly, I was confident that we'd have a repeat of that for airplane two, so I optimistically planned a second ferry flight on the back end. Now with visa in hand, Bob was free to join the pairing, and the plan was for us to set out on Friday, March 10th, with 194 Alpha Alpha delivering it to China on Monday morning, March 13th. After arrival, we'd continue westbound to Naples, Italy, where we'd grab Boeing 767-300ER and fly it to, none other than, Roswell on Thursday, March 16th. A 7-day, round-the-world trip moving two aircraft before returning to where we started. What could possibly go wrong? Three dudes in a hotel room. Aiden's snoring.
I just asked him. It looked like it was 7.
And?
It says, I hope so.
Here we are still.
Oh, man. I'm going crazy.
Why?
We're getting lots of caffeine. We've got about another, 12 to 14 hours to go.
Oh, my God. What time is it?
After we've been up.
It's like 7, right? 7:30?
7:30. What's up? Here we are again.
Still here.
Still looking here.
In a bar now.
We're clearly not departing tonight. Things have changed for the worse yet again. But now that we're heavily caffeinated, it's time to come down with some beers.
Now let's get some alcohol.
9 a.m. to try to do it again here.
Damn it.
How did we know the day was going to turn out this way?
Because it's nomadic. That's just life as a ferry pilot.
I knew this was going to happen all day in the back of my mind. The truth was known.
I actually thought there was a solid chance we were going to be going home tomorrow. Well,
it ain't tomorrow yet.
Good fucking point.
Oh my God.
At least we got Ted Lasso here with us.
I'm going home tomorrow.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Started, it appears.
Well, the fault light's out, so.
That's because the power switch is off.
Hey, but it went back out, see?
That's here good. Go. Let's see what happens.
Right. Come on, baby. Let's start.
The next morning came and went, but we finally got the call to head to the airport around 3 p.m. After nearly an hour of waiting for engine runs to be completed, we reached the airplane only to find that the APU wouldn't start. Just one thing after another with this trip. We could not catch a break, and remember, we still had to get to Naples, Italy by Wednesday. This may be the clearest windshield I've ever had on a ferry flight. I mean, it's like unbelievable, man. We're going to have some good cockpit casual footage.
It doesn't look like somebody actually cleaned them, because why would they clean just the front and not the side window?
Maybe they're new.
Look at your side window.
I don't want to.
Man, we were so fucking close to actually getting out of here before sundown.
I mean, it was all coming together. And then the fuel truck drives away. We got 55,000 pounds of gas. Like, wait a minute, that's not enough gas.
Yeah, we need 75,000 pounds of gas.
Well,
so
the fuel truck ran out of fuel. So
yep.
The fuel truck has to go get more fuel. Back.
I don't even know if they're gone yet or not.
Yeah, it's on the way.
So, it's going to be a sundown departure as always. No matter what we do, we can never leave here. We're literally 24 hours late.
Remember, we only had 24 hours of rest built into the trip and a firm arrival slot in Xiamen, plus another op to get to on the back end. So, the delay would mean pushing all the way through to China. This was going to be painful.
Sorry, was walking out and I heard you. Yeah, automatic 132, guys.
Automatic 132, I just got your clearance, sir. But you still said you're waiting on the fuel truck?
Yeah, it'll be back soon, but we're hoping to still be out of here in 30. So, yeah, you can go ahead with that clearance. Yeah, we're not. Spooled up, set thing up for us.
In typical ferry flight fashion, we kick things off in the dark with a hell of a lot of flying in front of us.
80 knots, checks.
Since we'd go straight through, Bob would take the left seat for the whole trip, and I'd take the left seat for the 767 out of Italy.
V1, rotate. V2, Austria, Europe.
We don't have any legal time and duty restrictions, but as a general practice, we typically ensure plenty of rest and or a heavy crew. Unfortunately, there are times, like this, when we have to make do with what we have to get the mission accomplished. The permits and slots required to get into China are acquired in advance, and although there's normally some slack in there for delays, we used it up already. We also didn't have a third pilot available last minute with the proper visas, so we went old school and caffeinated. This is nothing we haven't done before, and it was definitely a challenge that Bob and I were up to. Also, due to lack of parking in Honolulu, we used the Kalaeloa Airport, aka John Rogers Field in Oahu, instead of HNL for the turn.
You look well rested. Is that Viagra?
That's because I'm on an Alpha Brain. Black label. I endorse this product.
Did it give you a massive erection?
Not yet.
If that's what you're looking for, maybe it's in store.
No, we got to keep all that blood in your brain.
Hey.
We turned the airplane in an hour and topped off the fuel tanks for the 8-hour Pacific crossing over to Guam. Bob manned the fuel panel while I walked around the airplane. We picked up our oceanic clearance and HF assignments and took to the sky once again. The sun rose a few hours in, and with it came fresh life for Bob and I. Guam, which is an American territory, is a beautiful green island surrounded by some of the deepest waters in the Pacific. The deepest point on Earth, the Mariana Trench, which is 36,000 feet deep, is only about 220 miles to the southwest. I'm always excited to approach Guam during daylight hours, and often think about the fact that I'm actually looking at a mountaintop from a huge undersea mountain range. The normal configuration for Guam lands to the east, and when approaching from the east, we circle south of the island on a right downwind leg. During the day, it's magnificent, but at night it can be a bit nerve-wracking due to the hills located just a few miles off the approach end of runway 6 left. These hills appear pitch black at night and were the site of the infamous Korean Air 801 crash in 1997, when the Boeing 747 impacted them while descending without vertical guidance on a localizer approach. As we pulled into the gate, I remember feeling pretty good mentally and physically, but it sure would have been nice to head to a hotel at that point. Unfortunately for us, the 24-hour delay on the front end constituted all available downtime for this delivery, and we had to press on with the final leg, a 4-hour hop across the Philippines, the South China Sea, and into Xiamen. Our time here in Guam would be limited to about an hour and a half. The 747 is one of the few aircraft that I'm not personally rated on, so I haven't been around a ton of them at ground level. I spent a fair bit of time staring at the one parked next to us at the gate. 703 Charlie Kilo belongs to Kalita Air and was scheduled to depart for Singapore a few hours after us. The Queen is truly colossal in size when viewed up close.
We're in Guam. Parked next to a 747. There's Bedbug. That's that famous guy. Brakes are smoking. Don't go near it. Oh no! It's gonna blow.
We pushed back on time, and with one leg to go, the end of the mission was finally in view. The weather was good along the route, and Xiamen was forecast to be pleasant at our time of arrival as well. The kind folks at the handling company in Guam also refilled our coffee and brought us some breakfast, which I could not wait to dig into once airborne. As we taxied out, an email came across with the ferry permit for the 767-300ER in Naples. This officially confirmed that we'd proceed with the plan and continue into the next trip. So, before we took off, I got a Slack message out to our travel and planning teams to finalize our travel plans and start preparing for that trip by applying for permits.
Thank you. Meters information Yankee.
Momentum 1312 Portrait on contact 791 Alpha Rival descend at maintain 3000 meters on course 1023.
Okay, descend on course to 3500 meters and 1023 QNH.
As usual, arriving into China was chaotic with a ton of ATC traffic both in English and Mandarin, altitude assignments in meters, and a dozen possible arrivals to brief and consider as we started the descent.
Let's go flaps 30.
Flap 30. Here.
Three green.
Got a green. Now you have flaps at 30.
1 G, 2.
Libre.
060 degrees, 6 meters per second,
clear to land runway 05, nomadic 132. Speed break.
Approach like this.
God, I know, man. It's dense too.
Yeah. It's gonna be ugly when somebody busts the minimums. Autopilot's off.
Roger that.
Forty. 20, 10,
20. Oh, you bitch.
Spoilers. Remember, you have no reverse on the left.
Yeah.
On reverse. Italy now. Hopefully we'll get a chance to shower, not at the same time.
Hey, I would even do it at the same time at
I
this
would
point.
Too. I would too.
I'm so dirty and greasy. I'll take anything.
Get in, Bob.
So I'm waiting for the paper.
Okay.
I don't have COVID, I have a concussion.
So I think it's been a total of like 28 or 29 hours since we left Roswell, straight through, about an hour turn in Guam and about a 2 hour turn in Hawaii, and now we're here in Xiamen, China, in a hotel room for 2 hours because we are heading out at 4:30 p.m. and then we're going to Guangzhou, and then we're taking Qatar Airways to Doha, and then to Rome.
What's up, man? You don't like this orderly domestic airport experience? So, Xiamen,
thinking about going and getting some ginger duck over there.
actually the beak of it is really good.
Yeah, it looked like it. The whole head of the duck.
The eyeballs were gone, but the beak was there.
Yeah, you can get it to go too, so you can eat it on the plane.
Sounds like a good idea. Be somebody like crunching beak behind you.
Hey, where's the service dogs?
Christ.
We did shower and change.
Oh,
my God. It's pretty nice of us to be able to do that.
You know, I'm just on the verge of going into a coma, but I'm clean.
I'm not even tired. I don't know how that's possible. I haven't slept in several days.
I could shut my eyes and go to sleep in probably 5 seconds right now.
Well,
that's pretty much every day.
You're gonna be on a China Southern domestic flight, so good luck with that.
I want to just go to sleep. I hope I wake up where it's a quick death.
What you got there, Bob?
I think it's a piece of meat.
It could type of meat.
I don't know. I think it's a Yangtze River fish.
Instead, I'm having my mixed nut.
I think it's tuna. I'm really hungry right now. But yet, I think I'm going to pass on this.
The flight got delayed by 90 minutes once we boarded, so they served us a broad interpretation of what I'd consider to be food while still on the ground. We were joking about the catering and talking nonsense when it all caught up with Bob. I turned to look out the window for a minute, and when I turned back, Bob was done. 5 minutes later, I too dropped, and we both woke up when the wheels impacted the ground in Guangzhou with no recollection of a single second of the one-hour flight.
French fries.
We haven't eaten in a while, so we found the colonel.
The only thing that we recognize.
I think I'm going to get the single chicken wing and coffee combination. Are those chicken nuggets?
That's what I was just looking at. I think we got chicken nuggets.
What's this? It's a big ball of... What is... What the fuck? It's not quite like Kentucky, is it, Bob?
This is not Kentucky fried chicken.
It is?
It's got kind of some kind of sauce on it.
What is that? An eel?
I don't know.
Is it a cucumber?
It might be a cucumber. Could be a squash.
Is it mushy?
I think there's an onion in there, too.
What's with the Portuguese custard tart things?
And for dessert.
The only thing left standing in our way from 10 hours of uninterrupted sleep in a Qatar Airways lie-flat seat was a crowded, standing-room-only bus ride. The Qatar 777 was fueled up and parked at a hard stand awaiting the onslaught of masked travelers to pile in for the late-night flight across Asia bound for Doha. The bus ride was an appropriate farewell to China for us after the past 9 hours of unmitigated sleep-deprived chaos. It wasn't a Q-suite. Apparently those aren't used very often on the China routes. Instead, it was an old interior that neither Bob or I had seen in years. Regardless, the seats went flat, and that's all that mattered.
We are.
3 days into this round-the-world adventure, and we'd already traversed the Pacific Ocean flying from Roswell, New Mexico to Xiamen, China, straight through with no overnights, and only quick turns in Hawaii and Guam before flying commercial down to Guangzhou. There we'd catch the first segment of our ride to Naples. The 10-hour flight passed in an instant as Bob and I caught up on much-needed sleep. Our time in Doha would be very brief. We had about an hour to change planes over to a Qatar Airways 787 heading for Rome. Yet another opportunity to sleep for a few more hours in lie-flat comfort. The ride to Naples happened in a town car, which we booked while transiting Doha. After the obligatory jokes about having the name Giordano and not speaking a word of Italian, we were on our way, a 2.5-hour jaunt under overcast skies. I love Italy. I know I say I have a lot of favorite places, and I do, but Italy, top to bottom, is probably the true number one. It's also tied with Maui as the favorite destination for my wife and kids. The hill towns in Tuscany, the beaches on the Amalfi Coast, the cities, the mountains, and everything in between. Italy has it all, and maybe it's the 25% of my bloodline, or maybe it's just in my head, but the place just feels like home. We pulled into Naples a couple hours before sunset. It must have been 4 or 5 p.m. I haven't spent that much time here, but I had been a couple of times before picking up or dropping off airplanes. We'd need to make an appearance with the customer's reps and DAR over dinner at 8 p.m., but Bob and I both planned a nap before that. After dinner, it was right to bed to get our first real sleep in a bed in a few days.
Interesting.
Baby Jesus.
The next day, we both woke up around noon, starving. They wanted us to show up around 5 p.m. for a 7 p.m. departure, so we had time to walk to the harbor and have lunch at a roadside cafe.
Steve, it's McDonald's. You want to get a...
Yes. Let's get a McPasta.
McPizza.
McPizza.
We walked for a while because we couldn't quite figure out how to get to the waterfront at first. We did literally zero research and just figured we'd find somewhere that had spaghetti alle vongole for me and pizza for Bob. Or KFC, maybe. We eventually found a pair of neighboring cafes facing the water with basically the same menu, so we grabbed the first table we saw.
We're getting some good food. Italy.
No doubt. The music is fucking perfect.
Is that a guy actually playing somewhere?
I don't know. Or if it's a recording?
Yeah. I don't see any guy, but I don't see a speaker either.
The remainder of our round-the-world journey was a two-legger, Naples to Detroit, then Detroit to Roswell, completing the orbit. Pat, one of our pilots who just completed an A321 ferry to Montpellier from Goodyear 2 days before, flew over to Naples to meet us to form a crew of three. It was a win-win situation having Pat run over and supplement us after such a crazy week. We finally made our way to the airport for departure around sundown, and all was going great until Bob couldn't find his passport. Notice Pat was worried, but I've seen this movie before.
I'm not gonna laugh. I know he's gonna find it. Happens all the time.
Sitting out on that table.
You had it out on that table?
Yeah, like last night.
Do you remember putting it away? Well, if you have to run back to the hotel, I can, Pat and I can get everything ready.
It wasn't lost, of course. It was in the pocket, which he claimed it was supposed to be in. With the crisis now averted, we headed out to the jet. The airplane was a Boeing 767-300ER that had been on lease with Blue Panorama Airlines in Italy. Jim, the rep, had been on site for a few weeks prior to our arrival, readying the aircraft for flight at the MRO. Both front windshields had been replaced, along with a fairly large work package. All things considered, they got the return to service done under Jim's skilled direction in record time. Originally, we intended to import the aircraft in Portsmouth or Bangor, our two main U.S. East Coast entry points, but recent changes with the duty hours of U.S. Customs and Border Protection had been forcing us into very narrow arrival windows. Unfortunately, due to our planned departure time, neither location was available, so our ops team expedited a last-minute change of destination to Detroit, Michigan. Since Bob did the flying on the 757 to China and I ran the radios, we swapped on this one and I took the left seat. I was looking forward to flying because that role is both easier and more fun than constantly talking on the radio.
Ready, Bob?
This 767 was an older one, less modern than the LATAM birds that we fly so often and without the luxury of a working CPDLC. It was installed, but the SATCOM wasn't operational for the ferry. This meant that we'd have to use HF exclusively for position reports over the North Atlantic. It also meant that we'd have to descend down below NAT HLA airspace on the oceanic segments. No biggie, the flight was scheduled at just under 10 hours to Detroit, and then 3 hours to Roswell. 13 hours is about 3.5 less than a topped-off 767-300ER can do, so we wouldn't even need fuel in Detroit.
Ciao, buonasera, Villain 77 Hotel Kilo, we are vacating runway 06 on Echo.
Buonasera, Villain 77 Hotel Kilo, Napoli, Texas, stand 13.
Stand 13, Villain 77 Hotel Echo.
Come at Delta 126, okay, you are turning right, no problem, right Romeo, and then Quebec.
There was a taxi diagram which specifically instructed aircraft to turn right out of this spot across the inner ramp, which I followed, but apparently the ground controller had something else in mind.
Oh, you go right then. Okay, okay. Romeo, correct.
Though confused, he seemed to be okay with our right turn anyway and re-cleared us out of the ramp the way that we had initiated the turn. They were clearly just happy to be rid of us. At 8,600 feet, runway 6 at Naples is on the shorter side for a heavy 767 with full fuel, so we'd take off at flaps 15 in order to get a lower rotation speed.
Oscar Mike Delta 126, runway 06, line up and cleared for takeoff. 020, it's not.
Dead for us.
Alright. Press set. Looks good. Speed's alive. We got 80 knots. Okay.
We broke ground, sucked up the gear into the well, and settled in for the final long haul of the week. The whole flight would take place under a night sky, but it was a beautiful night, and we saw the lights of every city we overflew. Our route took us up the west coast of Italy, through France, directly over Paris, then London and Dublin, before descending to 27,000 feet across the Atlantic.
Oscar Mike Delta 126 identified. Contact Roma radar 124.350. Goodbye.
Around 30 West, Bob woke up from his nap and swapped with Pat. I dimmed the cabin lights and set up a time-lapse out of the FO window, hoping for the best. Even for it being March, the Aurora Borealis was quite strong and stayed with us for most of the crossing.
We've landed in Detroit, Michigan. We've cleared customs. I'm just doing a quick walk around of the airplane, make sure all the pieces and parts are still on. We're gonna grab a pizza and head to Roswell. We got our famous pizza. Every stop we get a pizza, it seems like.
Except for in Italy. There we got like a cannoli.
We just left Italy and just got to Detroit. After a 10-hour flight,
we got pizza in an Italy box from Detroit.
But it is Sicilian pizza, so we were not in Sicily.
Oh.
So.
Huh, interesting. Yeah. There's a map on the pizza. We could have used that shit to navigate.
Where were we?
We were right
there?
Like here, I think. Here? We're here. Okay. Are we? I think we're here. Dang. We're definitely somewhere. Somewhere here. We can narrow it down to that. This does not look like quite as good as the pizza you had for lunch today.
It's not, but I don't really care at this point. I'm starved.
I mean, the worst part about it is that it was cooked in there. It's really hot. I'm not even touching it yet, man. You're going to have like a... Oh, it's the worst. Now you're not going to enjoy your pizza.
Oh, you're right. Go get some snow outside.
Yeah, Jesus. And then, honestly, that smoke detector is driving me absolutely batshit crazy, man. I'm gonna turn it off. It's been going off the whole damn time.
So here's the key. God, it's freaking loud. I'm gonna jam something up in this shit.
I'm not sure of the reason exactly, maybe dust flying around the cabin or something, but lav smoke detectors going off during ferry flights is a normal occurrence. Often we can't hear it from the cockpit and there's no indication up front either. Fortunately, the alarms can be silenced with a pen very easily. We didn't need any fuel in Detroit and customs clearance was fast, but we did take nearly an hour just to relax and unwind a bit before strapping in for the final leg.
Runway 21 left, taxi via Mike 5, cross runway 2 and right, and then Papa 4 whiskey.
Pat actually got off the airplane in Detroit and checked into a hotel on the airport grounds. He was due to operate another Airbus trip a few days later out of Chino, California, so it made the most sense to have him airline the next day from Detroit to LA. The final leg would just be Bob and I alone in the empty widebody across the United States in the middle of the night. The empty 767 with only enough fuel for the 3.5 hour leg was light, and it climbed out at about 4,000 feet a minute all the way up to 40,000 feet. Also, because of the late hour, there was little traffic and we got cleared direct to Roswell as soon as we passed through 17,000. We departed Detroit at around 2 a.m. local on Thursday, the 16th of March, and landed Roswell at about 5 a.m., 4 days and 11 hours after we departed Roswell westbound for Hawaii with the 757. While circumnavigating is a regular occurrence for us as ferry pilots, most of the time, half of the orbit is done as operating crew, and the other half as passengers just heading home. To have navigated more than 75% of the way actually flying was highly unusual. While careful planning and execution was key, the reality of pulling this off in less than 5 days end-to-end was more a factor of luck than anything else. The previous Saturday, I'd have given our chances of getting these two trips accomplished back-to-back in 107 hours about a 10% chance of actually happening as planned.
All right, we're back in Roswell, New Mexico. This mission is over. We've circled the entire planet in 4 days. And I'm going to go catch a commercial flight and go home. See y'all later.
Yeah, there's coffee in there. I just made it. It's actually really good coffee. It's a Reanimator. Yeah. The studio, guy, I guess one of the guys that owns the studio or whatever has a diner. That's what Brenda was saying.
Oh.
So he has access to good coffee.
What diner is serving?
I don't know. Thank you.